What's good, y'all? You know, you got another week, King's Landing coming in. It's your boy, Jared. Follow me on Twitter at @_TheKing_. I'm one half of King's Landing. You can follow the other half, my brother, at KingHead57. That's Brian King. You know, you already know where to follow him on Twitter and Instagram. And for more podcasts, go ahead, follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and IG at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon at patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network and visit the bcnet.com. Man, week seven, we got smoked.
Yeah, it was, unfortunately, it was expected, brother.
We
talked about it. We hated the predict an L, but we gotta be realistic now. We gotta keep it fair.
Yeah, man. You know, we fans, but we not biased. That was just one where the matchup, you knew the matchup before the season started. We didn't know how good or bad the team was gonna be, but you just saw Bengals, they're gonna lose. So I'm not mad. I mean, it sucks to lose. I'm glad they didn't give up 40-50 points, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and like we predicted, they didn't score. Like I predicted, they didn't score over 20 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, 17-35, I'll take it. They didn't, like you said, it was a rare 30 burger, but they didn't run up 40-50 points on us. They didn't embarrass us too bad, but we caught an L.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just the worst parts of the team. Like, we all knew the team was a subpar team coming into the season. So it's like, it's nothing that the Bengals didn't show me nothing for the Falcons or show any warts on the Falcons that I didn't already know were there. Like, Ja'Marr Chase didn't, it was Tyler Boyd going off. So whoever AJ Terrell wasn't guarding was going to go off. So I don't think that changes anything. And that Bengals defense is real. And you put Mariota up against a defense like that, who can, we've already seen, you know, a couple secondaries that confuse Mariota. He'll hold the ball. And then they were down 14-0 before the game really even got warm. And so now it's just like, yeah, this one, you knew it was over at 14-0. But, you know, Arthur Smith got these boys fighting 60 minutes. They fought back, closed at 11 points, 28-17 going into the half. So that, frankly, was all I needed to see. Everything else was just like, all right, whatever. We lost this game, but they didn't quit. So
facts. And people got to remember, we went into this game without Cordero. Like, again, so, you know, you can play against mediocre teams, you know, above average teams, and expect to be competitive, i.e. the San Francisco 49ers before Christian McCaffrey. But going in and facing the defending AFC champs that are pretty much bringing back the same team, what do you expect? Like, come on now. We looking at this team. I'd give them an 82 overall right now without Cordero going up against at least a 91 overall team.
I mean, the Bengals are solid 95, 96 overall. They ain't really got too many issues. And for the matchup, yeah. I mean, they just don't have – you saw what happened against the Rams when they spread us out going three wide majority of the game. We were down 28-3 in the third quarter, and the Bengals trotted out a much better wide receiver trio, much better quarterback, and literally didn't even bother running the ball. They were just like, hey, look, AJ's hurt, Casey Hayward's hurt, the offer's going to be out, let's just stress the secondary out. And then you got, you know, Mike Ford goes down, Jalen Hawkins goes down. Like, you're down to playing Cornell Armstrong, a man-to-man against Ja'Marr Chase 2 weeks after he was signed to the roster.
Facts. Scout team DBs.
Yeah, I ain't mad. Like, I'm not mad at all. Like, I watched the game. I watched it again this morning. I watched it yesterday and this morning. And it was just one of those ones where it's like, I don't really care. Like, the game was over in the third quarter.
Yeah, once they jumped on us 14-0, we already knew it was a wrap.
Yeah, well, like, it was the last touchdown. Once it was 35-17, you just saw, I was like, okay, like, Arthur Smith went to the run. Everybody's like, what is he doing? I can't come back. I don't have the quarterback for that. My offense isn't built for that. My secondary's in shambles. Let's just get out of here.
And the other realistic question you got to ask yourself as a coach, am I going to break my team to try to beat the Bengals in an AFC matchup? As an NFC team,
I'm already blown out. Like, let's just get this one on. We lost. We it was a long shot to win once the injuries mounted and we got in the early hole. I got as much fight out of my team as I could get. So I don't really have much But I got a question for you. I'm going to lob a question to people. It's back talking. What did I say at the end of the last episode? Ritter. Do we make the change this week? They already released the depth chart, so we know it's not happening, but we're going to Carolina. We still tie for first in the division. You win this game, and you still control your destiny.
No. Why are we rushing Ritter in here?
Because it's exciting.
Mariota didn't throw an interception. Interceptions and fumbles get you out of there. This is 1 week removed from NFC Player of the Week.
Player of the Week.
Player of the Week now. That would have been unheard of. You could have put a bet on that one, and you would have. If you would have bet against that one, you would have thought going into that into this season that you would have been cashing out.
Yep.
So you can't forget the levers that Mariota has on his side, and he only missed five passes on the road.
But you can't run an offense. I'll play devil's advocate. You can't run an offense down 14, 18 points and not throw the ball to catch up.
And I agree, and I understand. But what are we going to win the Super Bowl this year?
No.
You see how quickly you said that? Are we building for the future?
But we got to see. What if we don't see what we got in Ritter and we go into this offseason with uncertainty? I'm just playing devil's advocate.
That old dog still showed some fight last week, brethren. So, you know, if he wins against Carolina, are we still tied for first?
That's my thing. I mean, as long as the team is in contention, I don't see Mariota going down. Like, Ritter doesn't win this game. I know I get the frustration for lack of production from Kyle Pitts and Drake London. It's like, why we take two weapons in the top 10 just to not throw them the ball? And it's like, that's a direct reflection of your quarterback. You don't trust Mariota to play quarterback. But, I mean, you just saw Kenny Pickett has played four games, and he's been bad, and he had a good preseason. Bailey Zappe came into the game mid-game. They benched Mac Jones for Bailey Zappe. Everybody's all excited, and Bailey Zappe goes out there and gets blown out just like Mariota. But for one team, it's a quarterback controversy. But for the other team, we need to bench that quarterback. They got the same stats. So they're winning games. They didn't win this week, and the calls will be loud when they haven't won. But I'm with you. Like, I don't see why you're rushing to put Ritter in the game.
And I think they're playing the money game. They got to renegotiate these contracts at the end of it. So you load these stats up on these Ferraris and Lamborghinis, you had to pay them that big money. So I think this is also a way to suppress the price.
No, I don't think that. Forward.
I think I'm looking long, long ball.
But you already know you took Kyle Pitts fourth. You're going to have to pay him best tight end in the league money.
Why am I having to pay him more money ASAP?
Oh, no. I mean, it's going to happen regardless. Like, I think, because if you're playing that type of game, you're not going to get free agents to come. You're just not going to get buy-in. I think it's just Mariota's just not a good quarterback. I think this is Mariota's audition for backup quarterback. I think Ritter plays at some point just to show that he could be the future QB1 on the team and to kind of get reps on this offense. Because, I mean, the rest of the season coming after the Chargers game, the hardest game left is the Ravens. And if you let Ritter have that window, I think it's better for him in that situation than have him come out the gate getting blitzed versus the Bengals. I mean, who knows? That Rams game is probably a different game. You playing Brady and the Bucks. It's like, give them time to just kind of like settle in. It's no rush to put him in there. Like you said, long term, if he's the quarterback, he's the quarterback. I don't get the rush to do it. So we'll see.
I like the approach with how they're handling Pitts in London. We're dealing with a skeleton crew roster. Let's maintain, let's keep that health and use them when it's time to use them. Right now, getting them these unnecessary balls and padding these stats only brings attention that they don't need right now in their careers. And it gives them an opportunity to read the field as receivers / pass catchers and gives Pitts more of a embracing mindset when it comes to blocking. Because we know this team is going to be built for the run. A fast tight end with length that can get to the edge and set the edge quickly is very valuable in the run game. So I think the way they're building it, we know what he can do in the receiving game. Let's see what he can do in the run game and how valuable he can do there when it's time to upgrade how many years you think Jake has left?
Man, wait, finish your thought. We're still talking about our young weapons. We can get to Jake in a second.
Oh, I'm looking at that. You're going to have to set the edge. But if Jake's not going to be there, you're going to have to sandwich him between those guard and that tight end.
Yeah.
If no, this is going to be the offense that we're going to run into the future, because Jake got some miles on him.
I agree on developing Kit's ability to block. Like, that's a weapon. It's like, no, he's not getting the receiving yards, but he done sprung Huntley and Algier for some runs, 15, 20 yarders, and it's like he's a direct result of it. And like you said, you can have a tight end who can block like that and still be a vicious threat. I'm starting to dictate personnel. It ain't there yet. Like, the running game is there, but Mariota just cannot take advantage of what Arthur Smith does in the passing game. His first and second down passing attack is one of the best ones in the league. Like, they are always on schedule. It's when Mariota has to drop back to pass, and, you know, it gets rough. But the other thing, to go back to your point about Jake, I think that's also why they aren't throwing the ball as much. I think the O-line is a good run-blocking O-line, but you saw when the Bengals just pinned their ears back, it was sack pressure, moving bodies, and so, and Jake got abused by Joseph Ose, and it's like, Jake has always been like a fringe top 10 left tackle. He's one of those ones where it's like, I don't know how you upgrade him, because the investment to upgrade him would be so much, but then you've also invested so much in Jake that even if they went and got another left tackle, are you putting him at right tackle? Are you putting Jake at right tackle? Like, I don't know. Because he's never been a shutdown left tackle that you get off the bus and say, well, I mean, I got Jake over there. I don't care.
At all. Joe Thomas-esque. Mm-hmm. That's what Jake should be. But he's not that. So
he has not even been Joe Staley. He ain't giving me, like, even his run blocking leaves a lot to be desired. His pass blocking, you can't leave him one-on-one because he's liable to get abused randomly. Like, at least with McGarry, you kind of know, like, all right, if I leave him one-on-one, somebody might get him. And it's like, you're depending on Jake. You paying Jake to be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not. So I think that's the other part of it, too. I think Ridder gets different looks. He gets different pressure packages. He's not a runner like Mariota. Mariota's eyes will come down. Ball snap. He sees pressure, his eyes come down, versus Ridder is more quarterback. And so I think that would put more pressure on the O-line. And I think Arthur Smith is saving everybody from that.
Yeah.
So
and ride that old dog till these wheels fall off.
Yeah. Let Mariota be the quarterback until he sprains and, like, not wishing injury on him. But it's like, I think that's the only way Ridder gets in the game. And Mariota has a history of getting hurt come the cold weather. And so, you know, if that's the play, is look, we're going to play you until an injury. And then this is your audition to be the backup quarterback going forward. But Desmond Ridder, I'm quite sure, is the future of this team. So
could you see a scenario where we trade for Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, that's fully on the table, but I don't think the Ravens do that. But if you trade for Lamar, the city goes up. Falcons basically won the Super Bowl if they trade for Lamar. Like, not even – not factually, but it's like the city would have that kind of parade to have that kind of star at quarterback for the Falcons.
That would be a wild time.
Yep. Match made in heaven type talent and city. It's like Vic 2.0. It's like if the Yankees got Derek Jeter 2.0. It's like – you're quarterback for the Falcons. Lamar's jersey would be everywhere, just like Vic's was. Like, it would just be crazy. But I don't think he gets out of Baltimore. They'd be foolish. They'd be foolish to do that. I'm not betting on. I got an MVP quarterback, so
I don't think they view him as that anymore. Unfortunately.
Man, well, we'll talk about Lamar when we get to Ravens week.
Yeah, we ain't about to, you know.
Couple updates. Wait, couple of roster updates. The team finally cut Marlon Davidson.
They did. I missed that one.
Yeah, happened this afternoon about 4 o'clock, I want to say my time. That's a disappointing one, but
the writing was on the wall, brother.
Mm-hmm.
What have you done for me lately?
And that I'm not TD. You're not my player.
Like, all he can hang his hat on is that little touchdown from Tom Brady.
Yep. That's unfortunate. He was ready. I was excited for him, but then it was like, you could tell, like, after a while, it was like, he don't got it. He don't got it.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
We literally asked about him last week, didn't we?
couple weeks ago. Yeah. I mean, they churning the bottom of the D-line. Like, Davidson gone. They probably going to bring somebody else in. I hope they get active at the trade deadline. You see, they talking about Deron Payne from Washington is available. Bradley Chubb might be available. I'd go after him.
I ain't going after nobody.
I don't think they do, but those are the only two I would go after. I mean, Kyle Smith was on the staff when they drafted Deron Payne in Washington. So it's like, if anybody, I'd go after him. Shoot, I'd go after Roquan or Robert Quinn up in Chicago.
Yeah. I don't know.
The defense really just needed – they lack playmakers and ballers. That's the problem.
And those are not the people that are going to be in this trade market.
That's why I'm going for some D linemen. If you cut in D linemen, you can help get Grady loose a little bit more. Hopefully, like a Bradley Chubb gets Lorenzo Carter probably going a little bit more, gets Arnold Ebiketti going a little bit more. So, like, yeah. Or you get Deron Payne. You had a 6'3", 320 next to Taquan Graham and Grady. It's not a back seven playmaker, but if it's a long-term trade where it's like, okay, I mean, I'll go get him for a second or a third or whatever and just keep adding playmakers when I can. So
what did we get for Julio and Matt? What years were those at 2 and 3?
Julio, we got the second that we used to trade up to get Ebiketti. And then we got second and fourth, yeah. And then a third for Matt.
We still have the third. That was that after the draft?
I think so, yeah, before. Regardless, I mean –
yeah,
the team is still a ways away. We need players. So
yeah,
I think
I'm looking at this cap. You know, I want to spend it a little bit more efficiently. I want them to build youth with that defensive line, and I want Grady to just lead it. But then again, as a vet that is a playmaker, as I'd say Grady's top five in his position, as far as just impact. Having somebody that's knowledgeable and knows what they're doing in those trenches, especially when you're in 3-point between the three tech and the one tech, you got somebody that can rock and roll with you on the inside. I wouldn't be against Deron Payne.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's Roll Tide too.
Yeah, you going right back to why I said Payne and Chubb. It's like they're 25. They're still young. They're rookie contract players. You go get them, and it's like you getting Grady loose. Like if you give Grady a Deron Payne for the rest of Grady's current contract to let Payne just wreak havoc. Like, I think when you got those three as your three, I think that's a good D line. You had Chubb and you got a pretty solid edge group that he could play with his hand in the dirt. So I don't know. Like, those are only two on the quote unquote on the market that I'm looking at, but I don't think they make a move. I think Terry's fine playing the draft. Like you said, keep getting cheap talent and go pay the free agents, because it's like you got to pay Payne and Chubb soon anyway. So why spend that money there when you could hopefully draft a player like that and then spend the money on a vet and get two players out of it?
And like we said before, they're building a new culture. Yeah, like that's what I'm looking at. And you bring in these dudes that are expecting this big money.
Yeah,
from production from somewhere else into a locker room where that's
a good point.
You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm struggling with. Like, I'd rather them build it young, but I understand the other side where you want to bring a vet in. But that's usually when, you know, you bring in a piece for that Super Bowl run. I think if we do that in like 2-3 years, you know, we can start bringing in those star pieces like we did a Freeney from outside of the organization. But I think with this competitive spirit and the toughness mantra that we're going after, bringing in a high price talent, you know, it's kind of like that Bugatti in the trailer park.
Yeah.
We already got two of them right now chilling.
Yeah. I hope the money goes to the O-line. Like, that's money well spent, because it don't have to be sexy wide receiver production type player where it's like, all right, well, I got to get you to produce. It's like, all right, cool. I solidify left guard and center, and then draft the right tackle with your first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point it's like, okay, well, O-line is fixed, and I can run my entire scheme. You know, an
offensive lineman calling the plays.
Yeah.
Do we bring back Ridley, brother, or do we trade him?
I don't know, man. So
talking about the construction of the roster, because if we, I mean, how much value can we squeeze out of him if we do trade him?
I don't know. I tossed out a long shot trade, Calvin Ridley for Roquan Smith and a pick.
No, you're not trading for no linebacker.
I mean,
linebackers that's most valuable.
That's the if it's a player that's not going to be on your roster. If you can get anything out of Ridley of use, I think go for it. And I think you know a team like the Bears makes sense because it's like they need receivers. They need receivers that can produce now. If he's not at risk of a future suspension, I think he's going to go to somewhere like that. But I don't know. I would keep him. Like part of me is like, if Zacchaeus can succeed in this scheme, Calvin Ridley could dominate in this. Mm-hmm. I just think the suspension and everything he went through, it depressed his value probably league-wide. And so now you can say, look, if you're going to be here, you're going to have to play in the slot. You're going to have to play wide receiver two or something like that. And I don't know if that makes him disgruntled or what, but I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah, like you said, like this is – Ridley is like one of those Bugattis.
Yep.
Ridley is not trying to go over the middle catching a Ritter pass. That's why he was tripping with Matt. When Matt was floating him over and had him running in straight into Zacchaeus. They got some decisions to make, but I think they can Ridley has some decisions to make too. Shoot, he about 28, ain't he?
Yeah, this is like his really only his big contract. That's why I'm like, I don't know what they do, because like you might as well stay in Atlanta. That's probably the best thing for his money.
Give him a 3-year deal.
Something like that. Where it's like, look, we weren't running you off. You wanted to leave. If you want to stay, like
you're playing them scratch offs.
Yeah, it's like you haven't played in how long has he it's been. Because he got hurt. So it's probably what, a year and a half. He got hurt midway through 2021.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was just Kyle. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I got faith in Terry. He made the right call on the Matt trade. He made the right call on the Julio trade. He got something for Debo. Like Terry's working. And it's like I think you can look over at the Saints and see their poor choices. And it's like, oh, Terry had more hand in that team than they care to admit.
Yep.
So
great chess move.
Yeah. So I think, and that's why I keep going back to the game. It didn't change anything for me. We weren't beating them. I clearly see we need a quarterback who can throw the ball. We need a better O-line who can better pass protect. And we just need more playmakers on defense. And we knew that going into the season. So whatever. On to Carolina.
Yep. And Marcus Mariota will outduel PJ Walker.
You know, that's our first over under. Man, I don't know. I watched the game, and they protected PJ Walker a pretty good bit. But that boy has a cannon, and our secondary is beat up. So I think DMPs can confuse him. The Bucs got them pretty good with a couple blitzes, but they're also running. The Panthers were running a ton of screens because they didn't want P.J. Walker throwing the ball like that. So they played it pretty safe, and the Bucs just played terrible. Like, I don't know how to really judge them right now because the Bucs, that just wasn't even a Bucs performance. Like, Mike Evans dropping wide-open touchdowns. The defense was getting outflanked on the edges on basic runs. Like, it was just a bad performance. So, yes, I'm taking Mariota over P.J. Walker. Next question.
All you Mariota naysayers, he's back like Slim Shady. All right, but I got a little for you. Let me see.
Why you think about that? I think the Panthers offense is just an interesting one because you got Blackshear running the ball. He got a little power element. He looks like a little – he runs like Caleb Huntley a little bit. But then Chuba Hubbard can score from 30, 40 yards out.
He got that ankle.
He's playing divisional game, so –
I think they try to feed Deontay Foreman. I think they break out. They need to break out Laviska Shenault out that backfield.
They gave him a few. They gave him a few touches. I think. I mean, but it's like it's just such a tough read because it's like McCaffrey's gone, and now you're looking at a true running back committee that wasn't a committee before. So it's like, all right, who's the lead dog that I plan for?
Right.
And then with the receivers, they were throwing it to McCaffrey. It's like. Even Robbie Moore is gone. So, like, yeah, Shenault might try and be there. They're Debo. They're Brandon Ayuk. But I don't know because I don't know. Who do you guard? Who do you assign to guard DJ Moore? Or do you just do run soft zones and dare P.J. Walker to read coverage?
Like I said last week, cover six and cover nine.
We can't even run cover two, Brian.
Yes, you're right. Because why? Why is that? His number is 3, and his last name is Walker.
It's really the Michael Walker experiment. Shout out to Damski. The Michael Walker experiment. Yeah. Oh, the very first play of the game, the Bengals attacked Michael Walker in the hook curl. And it's really fast. It's like it's he has no clue what to do in the easiest zone to defend on the football field.
Mm-hmm. The easiest, like, the most basic zone.
Mm-hmm. They drop D tackles into this zone, and you cannot execute it. And it's stressing the whole defense out. Like you can't run inverted cover two and have linebackers who can't identify near threats.
Right.
You can't run cover six if your linebacker doesn't have enough range.
Exactly.
Like, that's why it changes when Troy Anderson gets in there. Troy is nimble. He's light on his feet. He's agile. And if you throw it around him, he's going to hit you. He may not take you. He may miss the tackle sometimes, but he's going to hit you. And then yep. The team is rallying.
And even when he blitzes, like, he came on a blitz. What was that, D'Angelo Malone?
Mm-hmm.
I got that sack.
Yep.
He forced the guard down, you know, back into the backfield a little bit further to free up the end for the slack. So it's like, you know, those small impact plays that the normal eye would just overlook. But if you've been watching this team, you can see that when he blitzes, it's a little bit different, and there's a little bit more depth of the pressure that the quarterback has to face in their lap that allows, you know, the freeing of those DNs. Even if he is blitzing from 5 yards back, he's still coming with that fofo speed.
And that speed catches your eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, shoot.
You're a guard or a tackle.
Yeah. So I'm with you. Like,
did you check the defensive stats?
But he's not. Wait. He's not too bad of a player. Like, that's the thing. We're not saying Michael Walker is a bad player. Michael Walker is being miscast. He is not all the way. He is not the most physical in run support, and he should not be in heavy pass support, pass coverage situations.
Correct.
But
unfortunately, the team that he plays on needs him to play that role.
Needs him to play that role. And he's struggling. And it's like, that's not his skill set. Like, he's thinking too much. He's not trusting what he's seeing. And you could see from the whole defense, like, they were scared to make a play versus the Bengals. They were like, let's just back up. And it's like, go make a play. Like, somebody play defense. Like,
right.
But that's why I blame the Bengals. The defense still does lack talent. And so I get why a Cornell Armstrong is playing 20 yards off of Jamar Chase and still bailing. Like, I'm not trying to get embarrassed on TV, but
he did a good job though for, you know,
for what it was.
Thrown, yeah. For what it was, for being thrown in the fire. He held his own better than what I expected.
He's an undrafted fringe roster guy going up against arguably a top three receiver in the league. And he got smoked a little bit, but he was never burnt. Like, even on that, on the back shoulders, it's like, it's
right. Jamar, what can Chase, you do with that?
And like the fade to the corner that Jamar Chase caught, he was in his pocket. Like, so mm-hmm. I'm not mad, but I think the defense gets a little bit more swag, more of their swag back against the Panthers. The Panthers don't present the same issue. They're not going to overly spread them out. It's DJ Moore. It's what? Shy Smith
and Terrace Marshall.
And I mean, Tommy Tremble. Like, they're not, and I'm not saying they're trash, but it's like they're not Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd.
Unfortunately,
Aiden Hurst.
In the same breath, we trotting out fourth stringers.
I think they can hang, though. I think you can play some coverage, play some soft coverage. Because I also, P.J. Walker is not Joe Burrow. So I think you'll be able to catch him with some blitzes, get his eyes to come down because he doesn't trust what he's looking at. I think this they'll bounce back and be like, okay, yeah, even with a shorthanded secondary, we can still beat lesser teams. This offense is not good.
Yeah.
So I think it should be a bounce back game. What do you think the offense does? This is still a good defense the Panthers are trotting out.
Ooh, brother. It's going to be difficult because were they suppressing plays in Cincinnati for this matchup? Like, that's what it feels like. You're not about to roll 13 passes into the dome, the bins, and think, you know, you're going to roll out of there with a win. Because, you know, it's the fans, the home fans will let you know in Atlanta when this ain't what we want to see. And last week, and you could even see it on Twitter, the way folks were talking, they were not happy about that 13 pass game, 8 for 13, whatever. And I think they're going to have to spread it out a little bit more. I don't know. I'm stuck after what we saw last week, because there wasn't any progression. There wasn't any positive regression for Mariota's passing and the offense as a whole. as far as distributing the ball to the pass catchers. Outside of that, that Damian Bird, the Beer Bird shot, I like that one, you know, but that was one bomb for what, 75 yards?
Mm-hmm.
And how many yards did Mariota throw for?
128, I think, is the number.
So, like, how do you expect to win a division game with that?
Yeah.
On seven passes. Take away that bomb.
Yeah, I mean, Mariota was missing easy pitch and catch screens.
Easy.
But he wasn't – it was just one of those ones where he wasn't trusting what he was seeing. And, like, he was still even late on some of his throws. Like, they had – the play they ran, the non-touchdown to Pitts, they had ran that play earlier in the game, and it was wide open. But Mariota is, like, half a second late, and Trey Hendrickson sees it and gets his hands up, knocks the ball down. And I'm like – as I'm watching, I'm like, throw it. And there were five or six plays like that where it's like, Arthur Smith can't call the plays. We're back to what we were talking about early in the season. I can't call the plays, and if my quarterback doesn't get them the ball, what do you want me to do? I'm calling college-level passing concepts. I'm not even running exotic stuff because my quarterback can't see it.
How many games do we have left?
10.
It's time for Ritter.
That's what I said. I mean,
we're in that window, right?
Yeah, we're in the college season window.
Yeah.
But that's what I said. After the Chargers game, that gives you half a season for Mariota, half a season for Ritter. Because, yeah, you're not going to win a lot of games not passing more than 20 times. That's just how the NFL is designed, especially against this Panthers D-line. I mean, they've got four good players on their D-line. Shaq Thompson on the second level can get sideline to sideline.
This will be the story. I think this is what gets Mariota benched. And I think Ritter comes in.
Yeah, they cannot lose. You can't lose to the Panthers. After last
game. Not at the crib, bro. We just watched you lose to the Saints week one, the way you lost. And, like, the Panthers minus Christian McCaffrey.
Minus their head coach.
Like, this is the game you should win. I don't care who's on the field.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wins it. That's the problem. Like, I think he will fall behind. Just in my honest opinion, I hate to go against him, but I don't see him producing what the home team fans want to see, knowing we have Ritter, knowing that there are teams across the league that have benched their quarterbacks.
Yep. Shout out Matt Ryan. Damn, that one hurt. I'm sorry.
You ain't never seen him get benched, huh?
Never in my life did I think Matt Ryan would be benched. Yeah. I mean, I think we said it last week. The calls are just going to get louder. I knew the calls were going to be loud after Sunday's game, just because the matchup was that was the worst matchup you could ask for if you're Marcus Mariota. It's like, but yeah, I agree. I think you mess around and lose this game. You flirt with losing this game. It's a home divisional game. We already lost the first one on some bull. I got the division. I'm tied for first in the division. I need to get back to 500 so I can get above 500 for the first time. And we go 3-5, I think that's when it's like, I don't know. Because
you got to look at it as an organization, too. You start to lose the fans again.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been in that stadium rocking. Let's get on to these over-unders, brother. Over-under, Mariota fumble, 1.
I think he gives us 2.
2.
He fumbled. He fumbled again Sunday. I was like, man, are you serious? At least he got the first down. But it's like, it's just stuff like that where it's like player execution is lacking. And Mariota is a significant portion of it. So I'm taking 2.
All right.
2 fumbles. I'm not going to bet on the fumbles lost. But he's going to put the ball on the ground twice.
Okay. Will Michael Walker have at least one solo tackle this week?
Come on. That's an easy one. Yes, he'll have a solo.
He didn't have one last week.
He gets thrown on. He didn't have one last week?
No. That's why I was going to ask. Check the stats.
I don't believe you.
All right, let's see. You want to check it now? Oh, we'll hold on. Jeez,
that's embarrassing. Meanwhile, Troy's got 4
solos now.
Yeah, I'm looking at solos. He's got 0. He got the same amount of solo tackles as Timmy Horn.
As me.
AJ Terrell played 3 seconds and got a solo tackle. Damn. Felipe got a solo tackle. Jeez, Michael Walker. Yeah.
All right, let's see.
Wow, over under. Well, I'm going to take the over. He's going to get 1.
Throw the ball at him. I hope, man. Just Timmy, for him.
He's going to tackle Timmy Trimble by himself after a 15-yard game.
Jeez. Over under for the Falcons secondary, 2 interceptions.
Under. Ooh, yeah. I think they get a few PDs, but I don't think – we just don't have enough playmakers. Jalen Hawkins isn't going to play, so that puts Dean Marlowe on the field, Cornell Armstrong.
I don't know how we win with that defense. That sounds disgusting.
Isaiah Oliver's still going to be out there. Darren Hall going to be out there. They just don't have the receivers. That's what I'm like. I mean, our secondary is rough, but I don't trust their receivers and their quarterback to beat Dean Pease. We only gave up 7 in the second half versus the Bengals.
That's because they were on cruise control.
No, they got stops. They did get a couple stops.
They got some stops.
They got stops in the second half shorthanded. So it's stuff like that where it's like, if you can – they stop the bleeding enough against that team, I think they can hold the Panthers to a manageable situation with that secondary. So under 2 INTs, but I think we get our hands on the ball.
All right, give me a score prediction.
Man, 27-17 Falcons.
27-17 Falcons.
Wait, what's the over under? Wait.
Yeah, you get that together, brother, because you sound like we about to put up some points.
Well, we're back at the house. We don't get 30 again.
I got another one for you. 200 yards rushing or more. I mean, or more or less. 200 yards rushing.
Plus less. We're not going to run like that against this D-line. I think they break 100, though. I mean, Arthur Smith hard-headed. He's going to break 100 yards rushing on a bye week.
So how are these points going to get scored?
How much do we be scoring at home?
I'm trying to figure out where these plays are going to be made.
Drake London.
You said 27 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just scored 28 on the Niners. What you mean?
That was NFC Player of the Week, Mariota.
Yeah. It's coming back. 27-17. You heard me loud and clear.
So does that extend Mariota's stay as the starter?
I've said it for 3 times now. Mariota will play at least past the Chargers game, and then Desmond Ridder gets the following slate of teams: the Panthers, the Bears, the Commanders, the Steelers, the Saints, the Ravens, the Cardinals, the Bucks.
All right. Y'all heard it here first. All right. So
over-unders points is 42.
Exactly my point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a game where neither of them score 20 points.
Ooh, they got it. They got the spread at 4.5 for the Falcons.
Under 20. They'll score under 24 points, both.
23-20?
It'll be like 12-16.
Come on, no. We haven't scored that few.
This is about to be a defensive game, brother.
With our defense? Come on now.
With both defenses. Ain't nobody about to score no points. Drake London getting open on who?
Busted coverage. The defense is just going to be tired from being on the field.
Cap, don't believe that.
I believe it.
He got Drake J.P. Horn in his face.
I mean, Drake London will score a little red zone slant.
That's it.
Dante Jackson's not that good.
We have to throw the ball, though.
Mm-hmm. 75-yarder went to Damir Bird.
That was one pass. The rest of them made about 40 yards.
Yeah. What's yours? So you got 16. You said what? 16 to 12?
I'm saying they score – both teams score less than 20 points. However, and I think Mariota throws less than – I guess this is going to be the game of 20s. He ain't going to throw more than 20 balls.
I mean, there's your over-under. Mariota passes 20. You're taking the under.
Yes.
Man.
And I don't know how you score 27 points with 20 passes.
Come on. We just did it.
As Mariota.
We just did it last week, brother. 28 points. He had 13 or 14 with 2 touchdowns. I think Mariota throws 21 passes, has 2 touchdowns, an interception, does not have more than 200 yards.
And a fumble.
Did I say 2 interceptions?
And 1.
Yeah, he going to throw a pick and a fumble.
Sounds like about a...
No, he's not going to lose the fumble. Dang, but I said 2 fumbles.
Losing one.
He's going to fumble out of bounds. No, I mean, I feel like it's a similar game to the Niners game. It's just, I don't think P.J. Walker is as good of a quarterback as Jimmy G. I don't think their weapons in Carolina are as good as the Niners' weapons. But I think the matchup is similar.
All right.
So
we're going to see. You ready to wrap this thing up?
Yeah, man. Shout out Avery Williams on our way out. Special teams.
Special teams fiend, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Make the difference. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been King's Landing. I'll let y'all later.